Y'all did good. Choir practice is not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. Okay, and our prayer breakfast we're also going to put off for a week because the 4th of July is Wednesday this year. So I hope everybody can come to the prayer breakfast next Wednesday morning at 6:30. Just one other announcement that I need to draw to your attention. You may have seen some handouts on the table in the front. Yes? No? Okay, I hope so. Anyway, there is a party planned for Saturday, July 7th. It says, First Annual Great CL 4th of July Bayou Pierre Celebration. Is that right? I don't know what CL is. But Saturday, July 7th, 11 a.m., Highway 61 North at the Bayou Pierre Bridge. So I guess this is going to be an outdoor event. Not on the bridge, but anyway, down at the bio. Bring chairs, coolers, and a dish. Did I get it right? Okay, so Saturday, the 7th, we'll have a 4th of July party on the bio north of town. Okay, so everybody come and enjoy. And now let's be called to worship. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's stand to sing God's praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, it is so easy for us to get caught up in this world and all the good things it has to offer. So help us today truly to turn to you. For you are not only the giver of all good gifts, no, you are also the greatest of all gifts. For you have given your Son to die for us so that we might be with you forever. So help us to worship you, to consider you as more important than anyone or anything you have created, even as we offer the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would take up your hymnal, our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 595, as we meditate on the great blessings God has given to us coming up to our Independence Day celebration on Wednesday. Moses offers a good correction to the exclusive focus on the things of this world in selection 595. I'll read the light-faced print and encourage you to respond with the bold. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by fearing him.
For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper.
And you shall eat and be full,
Take heed lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command you this day. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.
You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth.
And if you forget the Lord your God and to go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you this day that you shall surely perish. Let us worship the Lord as we turn in our hymnals to selection 526. Selection 526. We'll sing all four stanzas of God of Our Fathers, and let us stand to sing. We have sung our Lord's praise. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You may be seated, and it's time for our children to come forward and have a little lesson. They can come and sit on the front row, and they'll go for their time of worship and study. Y'all come on. Don't be shy. Come on. Come on. Come on down. What a treat. Look at all these kids. This is great. Somebody ought to take a picture. Look at those pretty dresses. Oh, my. Aren't these pretty girls? Pretty girls in pretty dresses. And then there's some guys, too. Okay. Okay, I got a question for y'all. If you're going to have some friends over for a birthday party, you ever been to a birthday party? You ever had one at your house? Yeah? Okay. What do you do at a birthday party? You have fun. How do you have fun? What's the main thing you do? We enjoy your birthday. That's right. How are we going to enjoy it? What are we going to do together with our friends?
Cake.
Cake. There she goes. All right. That's right. We're always going to have something to eat, right? You can't have a party without something to eat. I mean, this is Mississippi, the hospitality state, except that we don't know how to spell hospitality. So we spell it F-O-O-D. Right? So we always have something to eat. Isn't it more fun to eat with your friends than to eat by yourself? Sure it is. Okay, and that's what this table is a little bit like. This is what the big folks are going to do after y'all go to children's church. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. And what we're doing when we're gathering around this table is we're having fellowship, just like you do at a birthday party. You're having fellowship with your friends, right? Well, we're having fellowship with all those who love and trust Jesus and with Jesus. That's what we do at the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ is spiritually here. So we're going to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. That's why it's called the Lord's Table. So let's think about that the next time we have dinner with our family and our friends. And remember that Jesus can be with us too. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Lord's Table, for inviting us into your presence. And we thank you, O Lord, that just as we can enjoy the presence of our friends when we get together, we can enjoy being in your presence today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much. All right. And now I have a minute for mission for the grown-ups. You may remember that Hector Reynoso, our good friend at Genesis Presbyterian Church in Mercedes, Texas. Hector is the pastor there. And his church had some flooding during the General Assembly time. Hector was often in Tennessee, and a lot of his folks were being flooded out. So I asked Hector when he got home to give us an update on what was going on and let us know how we can help. So he's done that. And this is a letter from Hector about the flooding in South Texas. He says, "Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was a joy and a blessing to see each of you at the General Assembly in Memphis. I'm writing to provide an update on the flood in the Mercedes, Texas area. I will start with the members of our church. Two of our families are homeless as a result of the flood. One of them is staying with relatives and another one with a neighbor. In these two cases, they lost all their furniture and appliances in addition to their cars. Diana lost her husband just a few months ago. Right after that, her daughter had a leg amputated and has gone blind due to diabetes. Diana and her 14-year-old grandson, Joseph, live in the house. Teo, Francis, and Vanessa are the other family. Even though they lost almost all their things, they were blessed that their son is visiting for the summer and has been helping them. Anna had her car flooded and swept away by the waters. Joe and Liz lost everything as well. Liz had to take her mom to San Antonio since the house is flooded, but they do have insurance, unlike some others. Armando and Irene also lost everything but have insurance. Jamie got her car flooded. Some other members of our congregation had water leaks from the roof and the ceiling. This is what I have been able to find out so far after being back for one day. Mercedes and West Laco, Texas, were the most affected cities. As one drives around, one sees all the furniture, appliances, sheetrock, and clothes on their front lawns. Some people are outside their homes as if not able to sleep inside yet. The water has gone down in Mercedes. In West Laco, there are still some neighborhoods with several feet of water, especially where Abel and Rosie and Teo and Francis live. And that may have gone down by this time since he sent the note. And then he says, my priority is, first of all, the family of Genesis Church, secondly, their relatives, and then the community. In the area where we live, most people do their own repairs. They are the workers usually hired to do repairs. Therefore, I think the most effective way for Genesis to directly help some of our people in the community is through gift cards. If we give people gift cards, they can buy the materials and do the work themselves, or perhaps hire someone since labor is inexpensive around here. Due to our size and not having a building and having many elderly in our congregation, I think that working this way can be the most effective way for Genesis and the EPC to make a direct impact on the members of the church, their relatives, and the community. We are not equipped to receive teams, but one day we will. Finally, one of the places that got the most water is precisely where we're planning to build our future church. All that neighborhood was underwater. We were already planning on building higher. However, now we will have to build even higher. This most likely means that our Genesis 300 campaign might end up being Genesis 400. In Christ, Reverend Hector Reynoso. So let's be in prayer for Hector, and if you'd like to make a contribution for the flooding, you can make it out to First Presbyterian Church, and we'll send one big check to Genesis Pres, and just put flood relief on the memo line, or Genesis flood relief, and we'll make sure it gets where it goes. And now as we prepare our hearts for prayer, let's take up our hymnals again and turn to selection 525 as we give the Lord thanks for all the blessings He has poured out upon us as Americans. We'll sing all four stanzas of My Country, 'Tis of Thee, hymn 525, and let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
may be seated. And we've already begun our prayer time. I hope you noticed that the last stanza of that song is a prayer that God would bless us and our country and keep us free, help us to live according to His ways. So in that spirit, let's continue in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father's God, to Thee, author of liberty, we offer our prayers. Lord, You have indeed blessed us as Americans in so many ways, and we are thankful. You've blessed us with material possessions that are beyond the dreams of most people in this world. You've blessed us with a wonderful government system that is stable and that allows power to be transferred without fear of rebellion. Lord, You've blessed us with the freedom that we have to do what we're doing today, to worship You without fear of somebody breaking these big, beautiful windows or charging in here and accusing us of being a traitor. Lord, we know that there are many Christians in many areas of the world that don't have these blessings, and we are truly grateful. But we ask, O Lord, that You would keep us humble and keep us grateful, and don't let us fall into the trap that Moses described for us in our responsive reading. Lord, don't let us imagine that our power or our cleverness somehow deserve the credit for our freedom and our prosperity. For Lord, You are the one who pours out blessings. You are the one who sends rain on our crops. You are the one who brings increase from the land. And Lord, we are helpless to maintain our freedom and our prosperity, just as our ancestors couldn't stop the invasion of the boll weevil, and just as the folks in Mercedes, Texas couldn't prevent flash flooding from destroying their homes. We are helpless, Lord. And so forgive us. Forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for imagining that we are somehow self-sufficient. Forgive us for imagining that we can determine for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. Instead, O Lord, we ask that You would restore us to a right relationship with You. Restore us to a relationship that acknowledges not our independence, but our dependence on You. Lord, don't let us put our faith in our things. Don't let us put our faith in our freedom. Don't let us put our faith in our military or in our political structures, but only in You. We ask that You would give us, as well as our leaders, the desire to know Your will. Give us the wisdom to discern Your will, and give us the courage to do Your will. We ask, O Lord, that You would keep us free, but not so that we might have the license to indulge our worldly desires. Keep us free so that we might continue to worship You, that we might continue to live out our faith in our daily lives, that we might value You more than anyone or anything else. And we offer this prayer in the name of Your greatest gift to us, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. God has blessed us so richly. Let us express our thanks and our praise as we give unto the Lord His tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Lord, you are indeed the giver of all good gifts. We pray that you would use these gifts that we offer to you as tokens of our love, as expressions of our thanks, as an opportunity for us to participate in the mission that you're engaging in this world, to draw people unto yourself. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would use these gifts however you will to expand your kingdom and to spread your gospel. And we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. On this day, as we prepare to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we turn in our scriptures to John's Gospel, the 6th chapter. And turn to verse 25. Now, the first part of this chapter tells the story of how Jesus fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, so 5,000 families, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. After that, he left the crowd, and the next day they caught up with him. We pick up the story where they are giving an idea of what it is they're really interested in. John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 25, reading through verse 40. This is God's word. And when they had found Jesus on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, why, when camest thou hither? When did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's God's will, God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it today. So, why are you here? Why are you here? I mean, let's face it. There are a lot of other things we could be doing on a Sunday morning. There are plenty of chores to keep us busy. Yard work and housework. Animals to take care of. Friends to visit, golf and bridge to play. There's always that TV to watch, and if you're of the proper generation, video games. So why spend an hour in here? Why spend an hour sitting in a quiet room, singing a song every now and then hearing someone read and talk about a book that was written more than 2,000 years ago? Why are you here? Well, those are some of the things that people outside the church wonder about. They often view the Christian faith as sort of beside the point. At best, a quaint relic of an earlier time. At worst, an effort to impose primitive values on everyone else. But in any event, They are convinced that the stuff we do in this room doesn't have anything to do with the modern world, with what they call the real world. And that's probably why most non-Christians think that the most important thing the church should be doing is not meeting in here and reading and singing and stuff. No, the most important thing the church should be doing is meeting people's basic needs. You know, starting a soup kitchen or a clothes closet or repairing homes for folks who've gotten flooded out. Mother Teresa, that's their idea of a real Christian. Someone who says what the Bible says about marriage or abortion? Not so much. Providing flood relief, that's real ministry. Teaching all this stuff about Jesus? Doesn't make any sense. Not to them. And that sort of attitude is nothing new. As we find out from today's passage, the crowd that gathered around Jesus, they weren't really that different. Remember, the previous day he had done an amazing miracle. He had fed 5,000 families by multiplying 5 dinner rolls and a couple of sardines. And he had provided so much food that they all had enough to eat and had some left over. So many leftovers that each one of the 12 waiters, the 12 disciples, got a whole basket full to take home. In other words, right before this passage, Jesus was doing the very thing that most non-Christians think the church should do, meeting people's physical needs. He was feeding the hungry. And that is why they had gathered around Jesus in the first place. If you go back at the beginning of chapter 6 to verse 2, John makes it plain that the multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Why did they follow Jesus? They wanted to be healed physically. They wanted to be fed physically. And Jesus himself pointed this out in verse 26. He says the only reason they sought him, the only reason they wanted to be with him, because they had eaten this physical bread, their bodies had been physically satisfied. This world is real. This world is all that matters. Now, it's easy for us to look at the people around the church and even to look at this crowd and say, oh, well, they just didn't understand. But can't we be honest for a minute? Isn't that at least part of why we are here? Don't we also tend to focus on the things we can get from Jesus? Aren't our prayers filled with requests for healing the sick? Don't we ask Jesus to provide for us? If not in a direct and miraculous way, then at least by giving us profitable employment or comfortable retirement. Don't we, a lot of the time, have a focus on the things of this world? Well, if that's true, then the food on this table should be a helpful corrective. Because let's face it, nobody is going to feel like skipping lunch because of a sip of juice and a bite of bread. Now, what we consume here physically is not even enough for an appetizer. There is no practical, there is no physical, there is no bodily reason to come to this table. Even as there's no practical, worldly reason for any of us to come and spend an hour in this room on Sunday morning singing songs and listening to a lecture about a book that was written 2,000 years ago. And that is the truth Jesus is trying to confront this crowd with in today's passage. All they could think about was where their next meal is coming from. That's why they dropped that hint in verse 31 about Moses and the manna from heaven. See, that's the sort of miracle they wanted Jesus to keep on doing. In fact, that's why, if you look right before this passage in verse 15, it says that their initial response to this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was an attempt to take Jesus by force to make him a king. they wanted that miracle of feeding to continue. They wanted the good times to keep on rolling in this world. But Jesus had and continues to have a very different agenda. Now, to be sure, it's not wrong for Christians to pray for the healing of the sick. We're told to do that in Scripture. It's not wrong for us to feed the poor and clothe the naked and house the homeless and help folks who've been flooded out of their homes. No, it's not wrong. Those are good things to do. Those are great ways to demonstrate the love of God in a concrete way. It's not wrong for us to pray that God would bless us and our loved ones in material ways. But none of those material, physical things, when you get right down to it, are the main point of the Christian life any more than the main point of this table is to substitute for lunch. The main point of the Christian life is also the main point of this table: the spiritual presence of Jesus within us. Jesus is the true bread which comes down from heaven. Jesus is the one who gives his life to the world, true life to the world. Jesus alone can truly satisfy us, not just in this life, but forever and ever. It is about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. And why is that? Because only Jesus' perfect sacrifice can pay the debt that all our sins have earned. Only Jesus can open the way by his cross into the presence of the Father, restoring the relationship with God that is the reason for our creation. Only Jesus' resurrection can guarantee that all his people will also rise from the dead one day. And only knowing all of that, only knowing that we can have eternal life, can possibly give meaning to the life we have in this world. Because in this world, all physical blessings are fleeting. In this world, even the grandest of meals is eventually followed by renewed hunger. In this world, even the most miraculous of healings, and we have seen some miraculous healings, haven't we? But even the most miraculous of healings in this world is only temporary. Only a relationship with Christ, only the sort of oneness with him that we experience spiritually at this table, only that, only he can truly fill us. Only he can truly satisfy us. He is the bread of life. So, how do we receive Christ? How do we receive this priceless gift? How do we come to this table in the proper way? Well, the crowd asked that question in verse 28. Sounded a lot like modern Americans. What do we have to do? What works do we need to do to please God? What are the 12 habits of highly effective Christians? But once again, they missed the point. So Jesus set them straight in verse 29. The only work any of us can do is to not do any work. The only work any of us can do is to believe on Jesus, which means to trust in Jesus, to trust Jesus to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We have to trust Jesus to pay for our sins with his blood. We can't pay for them ourselves, not and live. We have to trust Jesus to raise us from the dead by his mighty power. We can't raise ourselves. We have to trust in Jesus. And we can be sure that our trust will not be disappointed because of that most beautiful promise we find in verse 37. Did you notice that? If we come to Jesus by faith, he says, he will never cast us out. He'll never turn us away. not least because we can be sure that it is God Himself, the Father, who is giving us the ability and the desire to choose Christ ahead of, instead of, all the things in this world. So why are you here? Why are you here this morning? Do you crave a worldly, material blessing from God today? If that's what you're looking for, you're not going to find it. There's no earthly good in a sip of juice and a bite of bread. There's no earthly good in singing a couple of songs and hearing a talk on the Bible. But if you desire to be with Jesus, if you want to connect with Jesus in a deeper, a more spiritual way, if you want to be reassured of His welcome, if you want to bask in His love, love for sinners like us, then you've come to the right place. That's the reason to come to this table. So let's prepare our hearts to do that as we take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 220. Selection 220, we'll sing the first, the second, and the last stanzas, first, second, and last stanzas of hymn 220, and let us stand to sing. You may be seated. And let us remember as we spiritually approach the Lord's table that Christ is spiritually present here. Here we enjoy spiritual communion with Christ, and our souls are fed with this food. By this sacrament, Christ Himself and all His benefits are applied to and sealed upon us. Now, it is not required of those who come to the table that they be members of this congregation or even just members of a Presbyterian church. All those who have been baptized and have made a public profession of faith in Christ in any Christian church are welcome. But Paul does say this: whoever shall eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So if you're an unbeliever or an unrepentant believer living in defiance of Christ's commands, or if you just don't know what this bread and this cup are all about, then for your sake, don't participate in this meal. But remember what Jesus said in our passage today. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Him who comes to me, I will not cast out. So if you truly repent of your sins, if you are in love and charity with your neighbors, and if you intend to follow the commandments of God and to walk in his holy ways, draw near with faith. Take this holy sacrament to your comfort and strength. Let's prepare to do that by making our confession to Almighty God. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we know that you have told us to put you first, to love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our mind, and to love our neighbors just as much and in the same way that we love ourselves. But as we see that crowd gathering around Jesus today, craving the things of this world, we know we're a whole lot more like them than like what you want us to be. We're focused a whole lot more on the gifts than on the giver, on the creation than on the creator. And so we ask your forgiveness, Lord. We would turn away from the things of this world and turn to you. We mourn our sin, our pulling away from you, because we know that that brings you grief because you love us so much. Have mercy upon us. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us our selfishness. Forgive us all that is past. And grant that we may from now on serve and please you in newness of life to the honor and glory of your name. And we offer this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the promise of God to those who truly repent of their sins and trust in Christ. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Truly, all those who trust in Jesus Christ are forgiven. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the food that's on this table. And we ask now that you would be with us, that you would let your Holy Spirit work in each one of us, that this bread and this wine might be set apart, that we might receive by faith the body and blood of Jesus Christ crucified for us. Grant us that here we might so feed upon Christ that he might be one with us and we might be one with him, that he might live in us and we might live in him. And then let us live for him who has loved us and given himself up for us. And so it's in joy of heart and Christian love for one another that we come to your table, giving thanks for the great love that you have shown to us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had blessed it, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. After the same manner, our Savior also took the cup. And having given thanks, as we have done in his name, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful." Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for graciously feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You assure us by this sacrament of your favor and your goodness towards us, and by it you also assure us that we are members of the body of Christ along with all your faithful people and are heirs through hope of your everlasting kingdom by the merits of Christ's suffering and death. And so we ask you, O Heavenly Father, to enable us with your grace that we may continue in your holy fellowship. and that we might do all such good works as you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. We'll sing just the first stanza of our closing hymn, number 207, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Let us stand to sing. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.